we know that the word says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? And when you study that, it says by hearing the anointed word of God. It's not just any word. But then there's also, we have faith because of what the written word says, right? Just like this, I know that it says by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. That's a past tense word, already been done. So therefore, I believe for healing all the time. I know that the Bible says that God loves me. You know, he loves me just like he does Jesus. So therefore, when I go through things or whatever, and I know the word says that he's with me, he's for me, he's not against me, that he's with me always, even until the end. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. So when I go through things, when I feel alone, I stand on that written word. God, I don't feel you. I'm not hearing you at the time. I can't see you with these natural eyes, but I know that you're here. Why can I believe that? Because he had it wrote down in his word that he loved me so much that he had him to write it down that I'll never leave you. Therefore, these are kind of like God's letters to you, God's letters to me. But then there's times that some of those words, they like leap off the page. They become what we call rhema. They're no longer logos. But I have faith in God through his word, based on his word, and then also the things that he says specifically to my spirit. But we started here in Hebrews 11 last week, and I wanted to read this whole chapter, I felt like, last week, and we're going to do that today. We're going to skip some because part of what we read last week, but let's look at verse 1, and he can't get the thing to work, so if you don't have your Bible, you may just listen. There's some Bibles in here in different places. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. That word hope, when you look it up, it means a confident expectation. I'm expecting it because faith has made it real to me. Faith has showed it to me, in other words. It says, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That would be our five physical senses, what we see, hear, touch, you know, taste, smell, all of those things. But it says that faith is the assurance. Faith tells me that it's mine or that it's there, right? Let's see, and we want to skip. I think we got to, well, let me read a little bit more here. It says, verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Some people think that God made this world out of nothing. No, he didn't. He made it out of faith. Whatever is what's in this realm mimics what's in the supernatural realm. There's trees in heaven. We can read about them in the Bible. There's animals in heaven. We can read about them in the Bible, right? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, when we get there, the lion is actually going to lay down with the lamb, right? So we know that they are there. Everything that was there, God turned it into substance here in this realm. So he says, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, his faith, he being yet dead, yet he speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Or we could say, without having confidence in God or believing him, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, they had never seen rain. There was a mist that came and watered the land at this time. It had never rained. And it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Every one of these that you'll read, it says, by their faith, obtained these things, did these things. Now let's skip over to where we left off. I think this is still a little bit too loud to me. Cut me down just a little, please. Let's see. Let's start in verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now God's telling him to actually sacrifice him. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So in Abraham's heart and mind, he received him actually back from the dead, even though he didn't have to kill him. 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. He says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. What? Did y'all hear that? We don't like to talk about this part. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I don't like to talk about this part. I don't want to hear about this part. But how many knows we can't just pick and choose our own little favorite scriptures out of the Bible, because they don't work. But you go on reading here, and he says, women, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, means they was cut in half. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Now listen to that. They endured, all these others that we read about to start with, they overcome things, they subdued armies and all this other stuff, wrought righteousness, closed the mouths of lions. But then you've got others here. It says they received their faith. They got faith too. See, sometimes we think that people don't have faith, or we're not having faith because we're not out of it. No, I say nothing. See, faith is not there to make everything in my life rosy. Faith is there for me to believe the will and the plan and the goodness of God. But even though God's goodness killed Jesus. God's love for me killed him. You understand? If you have to go through some hardship for it to benefit somebody else, God's all in it. But in my flesh, in my own self, I'll do everything I can to get me out of it. And how many knows you can't believe that stuff away? You can't pray that stuff away. Why? Because just like I said, the people is not the ones that killed Jesus. The Bible says Jesus gave up the ghost. It was God's plan for him to be crucified the whole time. The Bible says Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before this thing ever got started in the heart and mind and in his plan, Jesus had already been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Right? So God had all of this orchestrated. Jesus couldn't pray it away. Y'all remember he prayed three different times. He prayed three different times. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Why? Because our flesh never wants to endure hardship. Never. It always wants out of it. And there's so much pressure on Jesus to do the will of God. He knows it is the will of God, right? God had revealed it to him. This is God's plan for him. But yet at the same time, there's so much pressure on his flesh. His pores opened up, and the Bible says he sweated great drops of blood. That has been scientifically proven that that can actually happen, that you can be under so much pressure that I forget what you call them, little capillaries or something other. But anyway, little tiny little drops of blood can come out. And he prayed three times, Father, if there's any other way, in other words, if there's any other way to bring salvation to mankind, I don't want to do this. Let this cup pass from me. Do you think Jesus ever got out of faith? Impossible. Why? He said, I always do those things that please the Father. So we just got through reading in Hebrews 11:6, the only way to please the Father's how? By faith. Even though Jesus is praying three times, that if there's any other way, let this cup pass, he never gets out of faith. Because he never disobeys the Father. He never does not please him. But yet at the same time, the flesh always wants a way out of pressure. The flesh always wants another way around any kind of hardship for me. Y'all come on, y'all. I know good and well I'm not the only one. I wouldn't be this big if I enjoyed fasting. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Thank you, brother, for your honesty. I wouldn't be nowhere near this big if I loved to fast. So don't think fat people don't fast. They just don't love it like some of the others do. Why? Because I don't like the hardship. I don't like the pressure. I don't like telling myself no. It's called discipline is what it's called. I mean, Jesus said go into all the world and make disciples, not converts. The word disciple and discipline come from the same root word. It means a disciple has to have some discipline. But I don't know about y'all, but my flesh does not like it. Does that mean that I'm not in faith when I'm having to go through? Of course not. Does that mean that I'm not in faith when I'm wanting a different outcome? Of course not. Jesus never got out, and he wants a different way around this. But yet at the same time, after the third time that he prays, he doesn't hear anything else from God, evidently, and he says, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. In other words, no matter the hardship, listen, and I don't think it was the killing of him that he didn't want to go through. Now, this might just be my opinion. But I honestly believe that it was the separation that he knew is coming from the Father. Why? Because he's never, ever been separated from his Father. The Bible says, in heaven he was the Word. He only became Jesus when he had to become a man down here in the flesh. But he's still the Word. The Bible says that he was, before he ever became here, he was with God, right? So now he knows that in this process, he's going to have to be separated from the Father. Why? Because God has to shut his, the whole sin of the world is going to come on Jesus. God cannot have anything to do with sin. All the punishment of sin had to be poured out on him, or me and you's got to pay the price. So therefore, he has to be separated from his Father. And to me, that's what I personally believe, that he does not want to endure. He's on that cross, and y'all remember he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does that mean he wasn't in faith? No, because Jesus never got out of it. But see, there's somebody called the accuser of the brethren. And we know who he is. He accuses us to God day and night. He accuses each other to each other day and night. And he accuses God to me and you day and night. He'll tell you, God don't love you. What about this? Why are you having to go through this? If you really had faith, you wouldn't have to go through this. You know the scripture says all things are possible to those who believe. Don't it say that? Don't take it out of context, though. How can you believe something? It has to either be written or it has to be spoken to you, or you can't really believe it. You can want it, but you can't really be in faith about it. And see, that's where the conflict comes in. And if we're not careful and up on the word and things and realize what's happening to us, we'll believe his lies. Y'all remember the story that I told y'all last week? And I mean, some of you in here, you've heard it probably a million times. But anyway, about when God told me, asked him for a baby. You know, and I asked him, and sure enough, I got pregnant and all that, but my baby was born at 23 weeks and endured a lot of things. Y'all remember the story, and I'm not going into all that because that's not my point this time. But when he was born at 23 weeks, I wanted nothing else to do with God. Now, your heart, God knows it. He knows what the problem is. And in my heart, I love God, but I'm so hurt. I feel like that this is his fault. I was fine. Why didn't you leave me? I'm eating my oodles and noodles, Mac. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't come tell me I asked you for no baby. It's going to bring all this hardship to me. See, God knew what the outcome was going to be before he ever told me to ask. But yet at the same time, he tells me to ask, and he lets it play out. Oh, y'all ain't never done this for y'all scared, I know. A lot of them today won't, and that's probably what a lot of them's problem is. One of the hardest things as a parent for me was to let Travis make his own mistakes. Because I done been there, and I done that, and I know if he does this, this is going to be the outcome of it, and it ain't going to be good for you. But yet at the same time, all I can do is voice my opinion, try to get him to listen to my wisdom, and let him go. Why? He's a grown man. So therefore, I'm like, God, I know what the outcome's going to be, Shannon. And when I tell him, and he don't listen, and as a grown man, he goes on and he does it, then guess what? I hope that he learned from his mistake when it come back and bit him. Y'all ain't saying nothing. A lot of parents will not do that today. Why? Because they love their self more than they love their kids. Because it hurts me to allow that to happen. Don't you think it hurts God too? But God is love, the Bible says. God loves us more than you could ever imagine even loving your kids. Why? Because we have love, but he is love. Anyway, let's go. Did we finish reading? We didn't finish reading this whole thing, did we? 40? Oh, yeah. 38, it said, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, even those that we just read, they got cut in half. They was in faith. He says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It's talking about the promise of Jesus. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And this is just put in here for reference, chapter 12, verse 1. It's actually a continuation. He's not through yet. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who is the witnesses? The ones we just got through reading about. They're already there. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What does that mean? Faith always looks to future and not right now. If you're looking at right now in the past, you're not really in faith. Why? Because faith looks beyond the hardship I'm having to endure right now and receives the joy right now because of what I see in the future. And he goes on. And he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And that's all I want to read of that one. But notice that. Jesus himself, by faith, looked and saw me, mine and your salvation. And that caused him to endure the cross. Now go over to, I think Proverbs 3 is where I want to go. But see, we don't like to talk about that part. Because it don't look like faith. It looks like I'm defeated. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, in my heart, when that happened to me, I'm so hurt I wanted nothing else to do with God. And I was teaching Sunday school at the time, everything I ever taught, everything I ever read, everything I ever preached, every message I ever heard preached, everything about God and faith was on the line. And everybody's going to come to that place at some point, and maybe even more times than just one. But everything that I ever believed is now in question. Why? Because I didn't get the outcome I was supposed to get, Sandy, but it wasn't God's fault, but I didn't know it. And sometimes, even you might not get the outcome that you're believing for, but you were still in faith. So therefore, here comes the devil with his lies. See, that faith stuff don't work. See, healing ain't real. That's exactly what he does. All the time. Why? Because he knows if you stay in faith, you will receive the promises of what God has promised you. Now, it may take a long time. I don't know. That's why the Bible says we got to have faith and patience to work together. But see, what I like to do is pull out that scripture that says, can't even think of it now. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Y'all finish it. I thought we just read some he didn't deliver out of them. They was cut in half. Which one do you pick at the time? My flesh would pick the one he delivered them out of them all. But what if I get cut in half, Mac? Does it mean I didn't have faith? That's not what it said about them. Do you realize they're being cut in half right now in other countries? We saw them absolutely on TV behead some of them. Are they not in faith? See, the devil is such a liar. The thing about this is, my life don't end here, Mac. When my life here is over, whether somebody takes it or whatever the thing is, I give up, whatever it is, it does not end here. My true life begins when I leave here. That is not the end of me. So therefore, they all died in faith so that they might receive a better resurrection, the Bible says. These are not even wanting deliverance, the ones he's talking about in Hebrews 11, so that they might receive a better resurrection. Why? Because when I get over there, there's going to be rewards given for the life that I lived or didn't live here, or consequences, whatever the case may be. But see, the devil likes to keep me so focused on this life, this the here and the right now. But this the here and the right now is on a very short time span. And the one that's coming is forever. It's eternity. I may not receive my deliverance here. Could be cut in half. Could be beheaded like some of those. Now, am I going to believe God to be delivered? Sure, the whole time. But guess what? If it's not coming, I'm going to believe God that I have the grace and the faith to endure unto the end, to stay in faith that whole time until the end. Why? Because my reward there will be great. Now, what I tell you, Proverbs, I'm over here in Jeremiah. The devil is a liar. Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Because if you do, it's going to get you in trouble every time. Because I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about verse 9, or chapter 13, 9, I think it says, we only know in part. There are so many parts, Shannon, I don't know. And when we get there, and we start asking questions or whatever, and God says, or Jesus says, it's because of this. Oh, I see now. I understand now. Why? Because when I get there, I'm gonna know the way I was known. God knows everything about me. When I get there, I'm gonna know everything about it. Where here in this life, I only know in little parts. So therefore, my understanding is fragmented. I don't understand a lot of things that happened to me during that time, but I did come to find out, Shannon, that God loves me. God was with me during that whole time. That my doctor bill, my hospital bill, because I had to keep going, I was bedridden for 8 days and had to keep going to the hospital, was over $8,000, and I did not have a dime. No insurance, not a dime of money. And I'm telling you, in 1 week, God paid that whole thing. Why? Because he's with me even though I have to go through. Even if I make mistakes, he's still with me. Even if I do the right thing, but the outcome is not what I thought it was going to be, he's still with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And he provides whatever it is that I need. Even if I think I need something different, he knows whether I really need it or not. And he says, trust in him with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I can't tell you how many times I thought I should go right when he told me you better go left. But left, y'all remember the story of Abraham and Lot? When they was together, you know, and they was so blessed, and Abraham was so wealthy and had so much cattle and everything, their herdsmen couldn't get along and all that. And he said, okay, separate. And God told Abraham, said, let Lot choose. And Abraham, I'm sure, was like, God, you know what choice he's going to make. Because when you looked out over through there, one way was lush, green pasture, Mac, with a river flowing through it. And then over here on the other side, wasn't all that lush and wasn't all that green, and you didn't see a great big river. So he tells him, okay, Lot, you choose. What do you think Lot chooses? What he saw with his eye, the best, but he lost it all. Why? Because he was led by the flesh, by what he could see, instead of trusting in the Lord. See, Abraham had to trust in the Lord that this don't look too good down this road, but this looks pretty good. But the pretty good, you know, the world has a saying, the pasture always looks greener on the other side. You know why? It's usually full of manure. And I don't know about y'all, but I might not like quite as much greenness if I don't have to have quite as much manure. I don't like manure. But he let Lot pick, and Lot picked the best side from what it looked like. But you know what? Lot got down there. His kids got in trouble. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. I'm talking about at the outcome. He's down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it ain't just one or two. It's the whole town. So the Bible says at that point that Lot vexed his righteous soul living in that place by picking what he could see instead of trusting in God. But Abraham trusted in God, and guess what? The Bible says he became even more rich and got even more cattle and herds and all this other stuff. Why? Because he trusted in God and not what he could see. Let's go over to... Corinthians chapter 12. If you go by your senses of what you hear, see, touch, smell, taste, you're going to go wrong every time. You have to go by what you get on the inside. What does the word say, and what are you getting on the inside? Is what you're getting on the inside sound like God? The way that I learn how God sounds is this word right here. Right? Now, the Apostle Paul, this is who this is talking about. We know the man, I mean, he was a great man of God. I mean, he's the one that actually brought the grace message to the Greeks and all of that stuff. But yet, here he is in this chapter, he's got a problem. And see, we like to, the first thing, y'all remember the story about Job and his friends? The Bible talks kind of like they came to comfort, but they stayed to interrogate and judge. They kept telling him, you've done something wrong. You've sinned. And if you ain't real careful, the devil start playing that tune when you start going through things too. You missed it. You're not in faith. God really didn't tell you that. This is the way that you're going really wasn't God, but he's a liar. If you're really in it, you got to stay in it till the end. You can't quit halfway. Now, hear the story about Paul. We know he wrote about one-third of the New Testament, and most of it was written from prison. But I thought God shall deliver him out of all his afflictions. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't take one little thing and try to make a doctrine out of it. Why? Because you got to rightly divide the Word of God with the whole Word of God. Not just a little piece. Not just my favorite scripture. Not the part that makes me feel good. A lot of the parts that makes me not feel good is the right way, Shannon. Love your neighbor like yourself. I don't want to love nobody like I love me. Mm-mm. I love me. I like for me to feel good. And sometimes it makes me feel bad to make you feel good.